In Job chapter 8 and verse 7, the word of God says, though your beginning was small, yet your latter end should greatly increase. Though your beginning was small, yet your latter end should greatly increase. That means wherever you are right now, that's your beginning point. That's the starting point of what the Lord wants to do in your life. But that is not the end. You haven't experienced all that God has for you yet. Amen. None of us has experienced all that God has for us yet. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And he said, your latter end should greatly increase. Your latter end. That is, God wants to take you on a journey of increase.
Yes.
It is not the plan of God that we are stagnated. Mm-mm. It is not the plan of God that we remain on the same spot and not move forward and not make progress and not grow. God wants to increase us across the board. I shared earlier, I think in one of our Wednesday teachings, sometimes when we talk about increase, we're kind of one-dimensional thinking. You know, we're thinking, oh yeah, increase, maybe that, maybe they're talking about he'll increase me financially or increase me. Yeah, that's part of it. But God's increase really is multifaceted. It's multidimensional. And as a matter of fact, it is impossible for us to increase materially, financially, without first of all increasing in our vertical relationship with God. We have a vertical relationship with God. It is through increasing in our vertical relationship with God that increase actually begins to come to every other area of our lives. I love this subject and I love this topic very much because it is not theoretical. This is something you are supposed to experience. The Lord wants you to experience increase. And I know that because all of us live in this natural world, this is where we exist, this is where we operate, it is very easy for us to constantly think of just the natural dimension of increase when you hear about increase. But God's increase is really supernatural. His plan is to bring supernatural increase into our lives, amen? So God wants to increase us in our spiritual lives. He wants to increase us in our vertical relationship with him. Then he wants to increase us in our influence for the kingdom of God. He wants to enable us to grow in wisdom, in knowledge, and in spiritual understanding. Actually, let me take you. I'm going to go with the Holy Spirit here. Go real quickly to Colossians chapter 1 and just look at that scripture from verse 9. Colossians chapter 1 from verse 9. Paul said, Colossians in chapter 1, from verse 9, the Apostle Paul, he said from verse 9, for this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, we do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every work and in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Notice, see, all of that is talking about fruitfulness in every good work, so that's increase. But notice, all of that is actually connected with our increasing in our vertical relationship with God. He says that he desires that we're filled with the knowledge of God's will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that we increase in the knowledge of God, and he goes on and on. So the first area that the Lord seeks to impact with this supernatural increase is in our vertical relationship with him. But when you increase in your relationship with God, when you increase spiritually and your influence for the kingdom of God begins to increase, this increase will also flow into other areas of your life. Hallelujah. This increase will touch the other important areas of your life. So for instance, in your life and in your family, you will increase as well. God wants to increase your family. He wants to increase your life. Amen. God wants to take you from wherever you are right now, whatever that level is, to the next level of increase that he has for your family. Amen. And then the Lord wants to increase you in your vocation. God wants to move you forward, your vocation, your career, your ministry, your business, whatever it is, the work of your hands, God wants to bring increase to the work of your hands. Somebody say amen. And then finally, the Lord wants to increase you financially and materially. Don't be super spiritual. When you hear about financial increase and material increase, don't be super spiritual and start thinking, well, I don't know, you know, I've heard people say to me, oh, yeah, Pastor, you know, I think I'm satisfied with where I am. I, you know, God is good. I don't want to be greedy. You know, I think I'm good. You know, my family and I, we're in a good place. You know, we pay our bills. You know, that's just selfish. You know, if all you can think about is your family and you, that is just selfish. I want you to look at the purpose of increase. Why does God increase us? I want you to look at that in Genesis in chapter 1. Genesis and chapter 1. And when you get there, I want you to look with me at verse 27. Glory to God. All right, I did give them something. I threatened them in the Akron church. I want to give you the same threat. If you are not happy when I preach to you, I'm going to fine you. Fine, you know, fine, F-I-N-E. You are going to pay me something. If I ever come to prayer, somebody say, well, my gosh, these pastors, they're into money. They are taking it to another level. That's right. I'm taking it to another level right now. So if I ever come here to preach and you guys don't smile, you don't look like you are full of joy, I'm not going to leave. I'm going to keep preaching, but I'm just going to fine you. I'm going to fine you. Now, of course, you know, God is a merciful God. You know, the Lord demands of us the tithe, which is 10%. I'm not that merciful. I'm going to go double. Minimum is 20% for me. 20% of whatever you earn that week. So you better smile. Look at your neighbor. Tell them you better keep a smile on your face. Because if you don't smile while I preach to you, you are not full of joy, I'm going to fine you. Somebody say, how are you going to get it? I'm going to stand right at the door before I share the grace. And I know I'll mark your faces with my little big bag that I'm going to bring into the service every week. So just give me your 20%. So that teaches you next week when you come, you put on a smile. Hallelujah. How many of you know that the Lord loves joy? Yeah. A few weeks ago, the Lord started to strongly minister to me in the area of joy. And I've kind of, you know, ministered it a little bit in some of our teachings on Wednesdays and with our ministers' meetings and things like that. And we would talk more about it in the month of November. But I just want you to know this lack of joy in so many believers is partly responsible for the drying up that a lot of believers are experiencing. There's a lot of dryness that believers are experiencing. And people say, well, yes, of course, there's dryness because I'm frustrated. You know, you say I should believe God, I should pray, then I pray, and then my prayers are not answered, so therefore I'm frustrated. And that's why I'm not happy. Hello? Jesus already told you you're going to have problems in the world. The Lord already told us that in the world we're going to have tribulation. He said, nevertheless, be of good cheer. That's the one thing he said. He said, be of good cheer. Why? He said, because I have overcome the world for you. So we know where this story is going to end. Whatever it is you are dealing with in your life right now, that is not the end of your story. Wherever you are right now, that's just a bend in your road. That is not your final destination. Amen. So then don't allow the devil to play these games on you, keeping you worried and anxious and sad and morose and like you're carrying. The Lord said to me, right before I had a leadership meeting and talked just extensively about joy, the Lord said to me, a lot of my children and ministers are carrying burdens that I did not give to them. Carrying a lot of burdens that I did not give to them. Don't let that be you. Amen? Amen. Let the spirit of joy ooze out of your life. Be filled with joy. Have fun. Don't take any pressures. Life is not worth it. Don't receive any pressure from the enemy. Don't take it. No matter what he threatens you with, just say, oh, all right, God's got that. I trust God. He has that. Amen. God will take care of me. God will fix it. God will handle it. Hallelujah. I refuse to care about it. Hallelujah. I tell you, the reason most believers are unhappy is because we're worried. We're not happy. We're sad. We think, oh, things are not going exactly the way they should go. You know, I have so many questions. So then you are sad. And then the more sad you get, the more the devil dries you up. And then the more the devil dries you up, the more sad you get. Until then, you cannot really get the things that God has prepared for you. I want you to break that. Make sure in your family there's laughter. There's so many homes where there's no laughter. People can't laugh. Do you know that? A lot of homes, people are just always so serious. And unbelievers are out there having so much more fun than us. And we're the ones that have the Spirit of God. We're the ones that have Zoe life. Hallelujah. We're the ones who are supposed to have the abundant life of Christ. So then why is it then that when unbelievers sit around watching this, their stand-up comedians, they laugh and sometimes they fall over. They forget all their sorrows and all their troubles. Of course, once they get back out of that program, they go back to pick up those things. But we have the Spirit of God. We have the Spirit of joy. Amen. That's one of the reasons I love that song that the praise team ended with, Abba, Abba Father. I belong to you. Do you know God is in partnership with you? God, you and God are in partnership. Because God is on your side and God is working with you, you cannot fail. Failure is impossible for you. Hallelujah. I didn't say there wouldn't be challenges. I didn't say there wouldn't be opposition. I didn't say there wouldn't be trouble sometimes. But I said you cannot fail. You absolutely cannot fail. Because the creator of the universe is on your side. You are a covenant child of God. Hallelujah. So no matter what you are dealing with, no matter what your journey presents itself like, when you get out on the other side, you are going to come out a more than a conqueror. Shout hallelujah, somebody, if you believe that. All right, so keep that in mind. Make sure you put on a smile because I'm going to be checking you out from time to time. All right. Why does God bring increase into our lives? Genesis 1:27. I'm reading this from the Amplified. It says, so God created man in his own image. In the image and likeness of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. And subdue it, using all its vast resources in the service of God and man. Look at that. Multiply, be fruitful, increase, and use all the vast resources of the earth in the service of God and man. That's the purpose of the increase that God brings into our lives, is that we're supposed to take the vast resources of the earth and use it in the service of God and man. I've said this before. If you are not blessed and empowered to an extent where you can affect somebody else for good, you are not yet fulfilling the purpose for which God created you. If you are not blessed and empowered, and I'm not just talking about financially or materially or your job or whatever. I'm saying if you are not blessed to the point where you can bring joy and happiness to other people around you, then you are not fulfilling the purpose of God for your life. Remember that when Joseph was in prison and he saw those two prisoners and he asked them and said to them, why are you so sad today? Well, he was in the same situation that they were in. He didn't know what his future held. He was bound in prison. There was no promise of a better life for him. But he wasn't full of sadness. He wasn't full of sorrow. The Bible says he looked at those prisoners and said, why are you so sad today? Joseph was a blessing, even in the prison, because he had the spirit of joy, and so do you. And because of that, the Lord increased him. Hallelujah. I pray that the Lord open your eyes, and I pray that he enlarge your spirit so that you can get the substance of this series of messages that he's having us minister. Increase is your covenant right. That is your inheritance. That's what God ordained for you. You must come to a place in your life where you say, I reject the status quo. I refuse stagnation. I refuse to stay where I've been. I demand increase, and I'm going to move forward in every area of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, go with me to Luke chapter 5. Luke and chapter 5. I want to read this this passage of scripture, and then I want to go back to talk about some of the things that I've already talked about in some of our teachings. Luke chapter 5, and look at it from verse 1. It says, it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, that's Jesus, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. He saw these two sheep standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. We know who these fishermen were. One of them was Peter. They had tried all night. We know that from the rest of this story. They had tried all night to catch some fish, and they have failed over and over again. At the time that Jesus met them, they had encountered so much failure in their lives that they had no reason to even pay attention to him. They left their sheep and abandoned their sheep out there, and they took their nets and said, forget about it, you know, it's not worth it, let's pack it up for tonight. Talk about dealing with failure and defeat and frustration. And yet, when Jesus accosted them, the Bible says Jesus got into one of their sheep. Notice he didn't ask him for permission. Jesus got into one of their sheep. Even at the time that Peter and the rest of his buddies thought that they were failure, they still had something to give. Even at the time that they thought they were defeated, they still had a lot to give. Because here is Jesus who needed something. He needed a vessel to minister the word of God through. All of these people with their needs were pressing hard on him. Jesus desperately needed some place where he could just sit or stand and minister to the people from. This was his own ministry. This was the assignment of the kingdom that the Lord had given to him. And here is Peter thinking, I'm a failure. I'm defeated. I don't have anything useful. Let's just wash our nets and let's go home. And guess what? His sheep, which he had just abandoned, was the very same thing that Jesus wanted to use. Right in the middle of his failure, right in the middle of his frustration, his sheep, which he had just abandoned, was exactly what Jesus needed. Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful that on this day, Peter did not allow his failure to get the better of him? Aren't you thankful? Aren't you thankful that on this day, Peter did not allow his failure to become a cloak to his future, to become a hindrance to what God could do in his future? Aren't you glad? Because when Jesus got into his sheep, the Bible says he didn't question him. Then Jesus saw when Jesus, now notice, if Jesus had gone into his sheep and Peter had said, well, look, I don't think I can deal with you right now. I just want to pack up and go home and talk to my unhappy wife and let her know how much of a failure I've been tonight, and let her curse me out, let her say whatever she wants to say, and we'll sort ourselves out or whatever. And I don't need you bothering me right now. If he had said something like that, I bet you Jesus would have gotten out of his sheep and gone to another sheep. But the reason Jesus didn't leave his sheep was because when Jesus got into his sheep, Peter didn't harass him. Peter didn't allow his defeat and his failure to be an obstacle to his future. Oh, God is speaking to you this morning, child of God. Come on. How many believers have laid down everything, giving up everything, giving up hope, giving up their dreams, giving up the things that the Lord spoke to them about, just because they are encountering temporary failure? Which is exactly what the enemy wants you to do. The enemy wants you to be so fixated on your temporary failure that you become paralyzed and you can't move forward. Peter didn't let that happen to him. I bet you, emotionally, he was not in a good place. I bet you physically he was not in a good place. He wasn't feeling good. But he didn't allow that to becloud the possibilities of God that were in his future. Look at your neighbor and tell them, even when you feel like a failure, you still got something God can use. Say like you really mean it. Look them in the eye. Slap them like I said to you to do last time. Say to them, listen, even when you feel like you are a failure, God still has something that he wants to use in your life. Say, why are you slapping me? Because Pastor said I should slap you. No, I think you really wanted to slap them before I told you to. It's like a husband and wife. Why are you slapping me so hard? The pastor said I should slap you. No, it's because of what I said to you last night. You know, even in your failure, you have something that God can use. Even in your defeat, you have something that God can use. And you know what we don't realize a lot of times? That something that God can use, as insignificant as it looks, is the door opener for the increase we're looking for. Do you know that? That's something that God can use, as insignificant as it looks, is the door opener that God is looking for our increase. So Jesus said he got into his boat. The Bible says in verse 3, he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's. Do you think Jesus knew it was Simon's? Of course he knew. And then he asked him, he prayed him, he requested him that he will move out a little from the land. He will thrust out a little from the land. And Jesus sat down and taught the people out of failure Peter's ship. Jesus ministered to the needs of thousands of people sitting down in failure Peter's ship. Look at yourself and tell yourself, no failure in my life is permanent. Say, no defeat in my life is permanent. And no deficit can affect my destiny. Yeah, I just want you to know, because a lot of times the enemy has this screen in our faces making us believe his lie that we have hit the end of the road. Making us think that, you know, that this is it. It's over. Caboose. This is done. No, it's not. I'm here to announce to you that God has a better future than anything you have ever experienced in your past. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is increase in your future. Don't you dare give up your dream. Don't you dare give up on what the Lord told you. Don't you dare quit on God. Hallelujah. Jesus sat down in failure Peter's ship and ministered to thousands of people. Ministered to thousands of people. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, notice what the Lord always does. Notice how the Lord always does it. He always puts the needs of the kingdom before our needs. Notice that. The Lord always puts the needs of the kingdom and the agenda of the kingdom before our needs and before our agenda. Because this miracle Jesus worked for Peter, he could have worked this miracle the moment he stepped into his boat, but he did not. Jesus stepped into Peter's boat and acted like he did not even know about Peter's need. He did not address Peter's need. He didn't say to him, oh, poor you. You've toiled all night and caught nothing. Failure after failure after failure. Poor you. I just sympathize you. And sometimes that's what we love, you know. Let me cuddle you a little bit. Let me comfort you a little bit. Poor you. Poor you. Do you know, Jesus didn't do that. Jesus said, can you move out a little bit? I need to preach. just pull out a little bit to the land, from the land so I can preach. I'm sure Peter is thinking, seriously? This is what I get for giving my sheep. Huh? It's not you're the miracle worker. I thought you'd just do something about my situation first. No, Jesus said, hey, pull out a little bit. Let me do something with my... And the Bible says, when he finished preaching. Hallelujah. Do you know sometimes when you think God has forgotten about you, sometimes when you think God is not concerned about what you are dealing with, if you would just put those emotions aside and partner with him in his agenda for the kingdom, do you know God is going to astonish you? Do you know God is going to surprise you? If you just wipe your tears, and if you shake off that garment of worry and anxiety, and just partner with God in what God is trying to do, do you know God is going to surprise you? God is going to change your story forever, permanently. Hallelujah. Woo, I feel God in this place. Somebody prayed for this service. Hallelujah. I feel God in this place. Hallelujah. If you would just shut your eyes to your failure, to your defeat, to your disappointment, to your frustrations, and if you would just partner with Jesus in what he's trying to do. And you might think what he's trying to do doesn't really concern me. But yes, it does concern you. Because what he's trying to do is the open door to the increase that you desire in your life. Whew. Hallelujah. Bible says that when he had finished teaching the people, when he had finished executing his own plan, when he had finished pursuing his own agenda, then he turned around to Peter and said unto him, hey, Peter, would you launch out into the deep? Notice the first instruction he gave Peter, would you pull away from the land so I can preach? But the second instruction he gave Peter, would you put your net? Hallelujah. Would you put your net in the deep so you can catch some fish? So you can succeed where you thought you failed. Notice that's the sequence. That's the permanent sequence. That's the way it always goes. Pull out to the land so I can preach to the people, I can minister to their needs. Once you've done that well with a great attitude, then he says, all right, now, would you put your net into the deep so I can give you some fish? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, Peter did. The Bible says, Peter, though, said, Lord, we have toiled all night and we have taken nothing. We've had failure after failure after failure after failure. There's a section of the teaching that I'm going to do on supernatural increase that I have termed as determination. It's a whole section that I have termed determination. God, I wish you knew how many things you've lost in your life because you were not willing to stick with it. I wish God would give you a revelation of how many losses you have suffered in your life because you did not have the determination to stick with it. Because you quit too early. You gave up too soon. I know you tried it. Yes, I know you tried it. I know you did it. But I wish you didn't just stop at the one time or the second time or the third time or the fourth time. I wish you just kept going until the Lord says stop. And you know, the Lord will never say stop until you win the victory. He said to Peter, I want you to put your net in the deep. Peter said, Lord, we've done this all night and we've taken nothing. But look at what he said. He said, nevertheless, at your word. See, that is what determination is. That is what determination is. Because if the Lord told me, I don't know about you, but if the Lord told me to go out and do something, and he told me he will bless it, it doesn't matter if it takes 50 years. If the Lord told me that I was supposed to go out and do something, and he promised me that he was going to bless it, it doesn't matter if it takes 100 years. I'm going to keep doing what the Lord said I needed to do. And I'm going to keep waiting for him to fulfill his word and bless me. Because I know he's not a man that he should lie. I know if the Lord sends you on an assignment, I know if the Lord gives you a mission, I know if the Lord sends you in a direction, even if it takes 50 years, he will bless you. Why? Because it's not a man that he should lie, and it's not the son of a man that he should repent. Glory be to God. Peter said, I have tried all that I know. I've already done what you are telling me to do. Nevertheless, at your word, I'm going to put down my net and I'm going to expect a miracle. A miracle is coming to somebody's house today. I said, a miracle is coming to somebody's house today. Somebody's about to enter into astonishing increase, into supernatural increase like you have never had before in your life. And you know what happened? When they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net break. I need to say something here. Notice that when Jesus spoke to him, he said, I want you to launch out into the deep and let down your nets. Let down your nets, plural. When Peter responded to Jesus, he said, we tried all night. We've taken nothing, we've caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net, singular. And then I want you to notice what happened in verse 6. When they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fish, and their net, singular, broke. Now, so I want to say something to you. God does not want to break your net, and God does not want to sink your boat. But God wants to astonish you by the supernatural increase he brings into your life. I'm going to say that to you one more time. God does not want to break your net. God does not want to sink your boat. But God wants to astonish you by the supernatural increase he brings into your life. God does not want you to sacrifice the valuable thing in your life because of the increase he promised to bring you. God doesn't want to break your marriage because of the increase he promised you. God doesn't want to destroy your family because of the increase he promised you. God doesn't want to break your spirit because of the promise of increase that he gave you. God wants to astonish you with increase, but he does not want to break your net. Well, how do we end up with supernatural increase without sacrificing our nets, the valuable things that God has given us? By doing exactly what Jesus said. By doing exactly what Jesus said. By not rationalizing, by not using our minds and thinking, well, that does not make sense. Because listen, even though Peter accepted that he had toiled all night and he had caught nothing, he believed in his mind, well, if Jesus is telling me to go back and launch my net into the deep, well, he's Jesus at his word, I'm going to do it. But then he allowed his mind to take over. And something said to him, you know what? I'm just going to try one net first. I'm not going to put all my nets in the deep. I mean, I've tried all night and I caught nothing. I'm just going to do one net first. And when he put one net in, they caught a multitude of fish. I guarantee you, they probably lost almost 50% of their catch that day. Do you know increase that God brings into your life? When you get that increase, but you already lost some valuable things in your life, do you know you don't sustain all of that increase? Do you know you can't keep and maximize all of that increase? Because you've given up some things that God never wanted you to give up. And the only way you don't do that, the only way you guarantee that the blessings of God are maximizing your life is you do exactly what Jesus said. Don't rationalize with your mind. Don't try to go ahead of his instruction. Don't try to do what you think is what makes sense. You do exactly what Jesus said. Because do you know if they are putting multiple nets, like Jesus said, do you know they still would have caught a multitude of fish and their nets would not have been broken? Why lose your net? Because you need that net tomorrow, don't you? Yeah. Come on, I'm talking to you. Come on, I'm speaking to you here today. The Lord is talking to you. Why break that net? Why break that net in so many points and then now we have to go look for super glue for net? And then in trying to join it, we may find out, boy, there are too many points where it's broken. Forget it. It's not worth it. Then we have to abandon this net. Now we have to look for more money to buy new net. You could have gotten your increase and saved your net if you just did what Jesus said. Everything he said. If you just followed every instruction. Do you know increase comes on the heels of instruction? There's no increase God will give you that does not come based on instruction. Now, someone will say, well, you know, I know God speaks to all these super spiritual, spooky Christians. I don't know that God will speak to me. Let me tell you, as you are listening to me right now, God is speaking to you. You don't have to be a spooky, super spiritual Christian for you to hear the voice of God. If you did, Peter would not have heard Jesus speak. Because at that moment, that night, he was not a super spiritual, spooky Christian. I guarantee you that. He was frustrated. He was at a loss. He was defeated. He just wanted to pack everything up and go home. And yet he heard the voice of Jesus. He knew clearly what the Lord wanted him to do, even though he rationalized about it. If you would just do what the Lord said, if you would just follow his instruction to the T, you will keep your increase and you will keep your net. Can somebody say amen to this? Amen. All right, I have a couple of minutes here. It's 12:51. Actually, no, I don't have a couple of minutes. I should close this out so we can have communion. Do we close by 1:30? Is it 1 or 2? When do we usually close? It's like, is it 12:30 or 1:30? When is it? Because, you know, sometimes I forget these things. When do you guys usually close here? Is it 1? Like 1 Central Standard Time or? Because right now is almost 12 o'clock Central Standard Time. Did you receive something from this message today? Come on, did you receive something from this message? Hallelujah. I'm going to yield to the Holy Spirit and stop right here so we can have communion. I want to be a man under authority, right? And I don't want to lose my net. Jesus wants to bless me, but he doesn't want me to give up my net. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Come on, stand to your feet and give the Lord a praise. Just bless his holy name for his word.